Crystal Brown, Amber Brown, and
Hey, good evening. It's going to be wild and crazy. Pop culture stars tonight as we're all stuck inside, and we got a lot of great things. First of all, I want to get right to it. I got to introduce our hosts. Dave Atwell called up. He had a call pass tonight because he's had a rough day helping people get groceries at the food line. Now, he really has, and what a great guy. Number one. Number two, we've got Todd from beautiful downtown in Indianapolis. How are you doing, Todd Sexton?
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. There's no place I'd rather be on a Wednesday night except, well, in bed. But other than that, it's all good, guys.
No place like home. Pop culture stars, that's right. We're glad you're here. And now from Jasper, Alabama. I'm going to start telling everybody you are from Jasper, Alabama. The one and only from The Walking Dead, Kevin Holland. How are you doing tonight, Kevin?
What's going on, everybody? I'm just sitting out here, come out to my man cave, and just got on the show and enjoying to be here.
We're glad you're here. Tonight we're going to complain about the news media, and then we've got a real guest, a really cool guest. He came to us from the direction of Tony Filosi, co-host on Murder 123 and Scary Cast, who's a paranormal investigator, and he met Tony, and we started, and we had mutual friend of Tony Filosi, who Tony's a great guy. He's from Harlan, Kentucky, and so mutual friend of Tony's with me. He's got to be a friend of mine, and he is. He's a ghost hunter, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. And I figured if Dave was going to be off in parts unknown trying to hose down houses and help the elderly get groceries, I figured this would be a grand time to have a ghost hunter. So we got two of them on here tonight. How are you doing tonight, Shane?
I'm doing pretty good. Just trying to stay safe and all this chaos that's going on, and like I said, just trying to work and stay safe, and that's about it.
Well, that's good. Well, we're glad to have you here, and I am going to say that there's a brand new website in the Pop Culture Stars Radio Network, and it is called, believe it or not, the Online Comic Expo, and I interviewed a fella. He's an actor. From Tampa, and his name is Michael Farr, and I knew it was going to be good to interview him a couple days ago. You can go to Online Comic Expo and find the interview, and he just told me tonight he won Best Supporting Actor for the movie he's in, Clown Roulette, in some pretty big film festival down there in Florida. So congratulations, Michael Kenneth Farr. You're a winner, and we were smart enough to have you on Online Comic Expo, so we always deal with winners. I'm going to put that up, that he won that great award at this film festival down there in Florida. So congratulations to you. We're proud to know you. Proud you were on the show and let me interview you. So that was good. Probably a little scary to let me interview you. Good Lord. But anyway, that's it.
Man.
No, he probably should go shop around and try to find a better interviewer. But that's okay. No, it was great. And congratulations to him. Nice guy. We'll have him on Pop Culture Stars next week or the week after. I told him that if he won, and since I got to him before he won, that he had to come on Pop Culture Stars. So we'll get him on here. He's a producer, he's a filmmaker and an actor. And all around pretty decent guy. He really is. So congratulations to him. So tonight we're going to be talking to Shane about what he likes to do, which is ghost hunting. But I wanted to complain tonight. I wanted to really complain because, you know, we had this wonderful bipartisan law that was passed, the largest financial relief package in history, the largest transfer of wealth in history to help those that need it, that need some money to help pay bills. Businesses are closed. The restaurant industry has just about died and gone somewhere, and we don't even know where it's gone. And in the law, what I'll tell you it says is that the elderly, people on Social Security, do not need to file tax returns to be able to get this money. And yesterday, I'll have you know, the dear old IRS came out and said, well, no, you actually have to file them now. So what the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, has done is they are overriding the law of the United States passed by the House, passed by the Senate, and signed by the president himself. So that's what the IRS is doing. Now, what do you guys think about that? I think some people need to get fired and put in jail for breaking the law.
That's crazy.
What do you think?
I agree.
And
I
you know what?
You.
I don't care what anybody says. That's ridiculous. So, in the news story, and I posted it up on Pop Culture Stars, it says that a number of lawmakers have sent letters to the president and everything. And now, and here's what I like, because I'm going to do this tomorrow. I've always wanted to start doing it, because I like it when some senator or representative says, I'm going to find out what's going on, but I'm going to call and let me find her name. She sounds like someone. I've seen her talk before, and I don't think she's a lady who wants to be messed with. Her name is Representative Elise Stefanik. She's a Republican in New York. I've heard her talk before. And that woman, you can't mess with her. You know, there's some lady, you know, you don't want to mess with ladies, because ladies do control a lot of our world. You do not want to mess with this lady. I think she's going to get somebody. She asked the IRS to provide clarity on the issue. So I'm going to call her office in New York State tomorrow, and I'm going to ask how it's going. And I'm going to report right back here on the one and only Pop Culture Stars. Todd, would you like to hear the report on that one?
Oh, yeah, indeed. That would be interesting. Please tell me you're going to record it.
I'm probably going – I don't think that I would do that, because I'd need to ask her, and that may take some time. But what I'll do is I will – I'll friend her on Facebook, and I'll get a quote, and I'll put it up there, and I'll call whoever of our co-hosts I can get. We'll have us a little spot on it. I think it'll be great. I'm going to start calling out some of these people that say they're going to do something. I want to start finding out if they do. I've heard of too many people that are getting in trouble because of irregularities and in voting and everything, and then we never hear back about it. So I'm going to, if it's all right with the my co-hosts, I'm gonna start calling people up and reporting it on it right here on Pop Culture Stars. I think we deserve to know why the IRS thinks that they can overrule the Senate, the House of Representatives, the President of the United States, and a law that has been passed. I'd like to know why they think they can do that. I mean, I just do. I think I said on the post I made, I don't care if this makes anybody mad. Makes me mad. Miss Laura and Betty Jean, unless I will drive 25 miles or they can get Betty Jean's sister to drive 40 miles, they don't have any way to get anywhere. How can they file a tax return? Come on. So we're going to find out, and I might just ride over there to see Miss Laura and Miss Betty Jean. They're nice ladies. I haven't seen them in a while, and ask them what they think. Yesterday, Miss Betty Jean was hot under the collar when she heard about it. She does watch the news all the time, and the Food Network. They're great ladies, and met them about 6 years ago, selling life insurance to them, and wouldn't trade them as friends for the world. So we'll find out, and I'll let everybody know. Is that all right with you, Kevin?
Well, I mean, that's a good deed. I try not to get too much into political things, but, you know, it's not a bad idea.
I don't care. I figure if I don't get into it, then I'm shirking my duty as a journalist and as a podcast host and as someone that tries to help people. So I don't really care what they say. What they're gonna do? Shoot me? Then they
will
get
jailed.
Well,
man, it's a good deed. It is a good deed.
Well, you know, I just think, you know, when those ladies called, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Say tough luck? Can't do that. So anyway, we'll do that. I might chase down another story or two that has bothered me that I haven't heard about. I'll call my attorney and see if he can help me remember one or two. I have an attorney. He's a great attorney. We talk about all these injustices, so I'll see if he can help me come up with another one, and maybe we can report on two of them. So that will be some fun to do as I'm working on some programming tomorrow, because that's what I get to do from the house. Anyway, it's great to have you guys here. Shane, we started talking because you met Tony Filosi on one of his ghost tours up in Harlan, number one. And number two, you're doing some ghost hunting yourself. And I wanted to hear what's going on, see what you think, what have you found, and everything. So first of all, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from. I mean, Todd, thank you for getting the correct town. I guess I was a little slack. The floor is yours, Shane.
I was born and raised mainly in Florida, and like I said, back in like 2007, I moved here to Somerset, Kentucky. My dad, he moved from Florida up here and needed my help where he was selling produce, so I moved up here and helped him, and after he passed away, I just continued living here, and after he passed away, then that's whenever I later on started getting into ghost hunting, and then from there I've met a lot of people in the paranormal field here in Kentucky, and like I said, a lot of like Tony Filosi and Thomas Markham, and another good friend named Joe Clark, and a lot of other several well-known paranormal investigators here around Kentucky and stuff.
Well, that's great. That's kind of how I started meeting the Bigfoot community, and I found out they're really nice people. They really are.
Yeah.
Now I got to ask you this. I love produce. I love fruits and vegetables. What's the best thing that you grow?
Well, we didn't actually grow anything. We always bought it from farmers markets, from other farmers down in Florida, like around in between Orlando and Tampa. There's a town called Plant City that's well known for the strawberries and stuff. And we'd go there and bought it and buy our produce from there. And, but we came had a good relationship with the people that we bought from. And like I said, a lot of them were actual, they would go out and buy fields from farmers. And then like a lot of the Mexicans, they'd go out and buy like the whole fields, and then they would harvest it and bring it into the market, and we'd buy it from them fresh and bring it up here. But I mean, sometimes, certain times of year, like in the, especially like around August, end of summer, we would, whenever like produce came in here in Kentucky, we would buy like from the Amish and Mennonite community, and we'd haul back down to Florida to some of the friends we had in Florida, and stuff like that. And like when we get peaches out of Georgia, we bought them directly from a farmer there in Georgia, and we got some really, really good peaches and stuff. That was probably one of that, tomatoes, watermelon, that's probably some of my favorite produce.
Heck yeah.
Sounds good. Take those peaches, yeah, mash them up, put a little bit of bourbon in them, and you got something good, man.
Oh, dude.
Hey, I'm working making peach bourbon right now. I'm sipping on some.
Are you? Well, that's good.
Yeah, man, some good stuff. Nice little cigar and some peach bourbon. You know, we got to find those germs, you know.
That's right. You better fall.
I'm just
fight
doing
those.
My travel duty, man.
That sounds like something Dave Atwell would say, doesn't it, Todd?
It does. It does. Hey, you know me, Pete. Look, that time of the year when peaches are out, you go anywhere where they're selling real fresh produce, and just that smell of peaches is just starting to get ripe. One of my favorite times of the year, man.
Oh yeah.
By a mile.
And they may not even. What?
Another thing I like, I know. Watermelon were mentioned, but boy, I'm a sucker for a good cantaloupe or a good honeydew.
Oh yeah, they're good too.
Oh gosh, they are. So anyway, well that's a good thing that you do for everybody. We're gonna have to, next time I'm up in Kentucky, I'm gonna let you know when I'm coming up, and I'm gonna get some of that now. Okay.
Yeah.
You saved me.
Yes,
you saved me a couple good. Yep. So anyway, now you said how did you get into paranormal investigating? I always like to know, because I am a paranormal investigator and I live in a bit of a paranormal world. How'd you get interested in it? Did you ghost or something?
I've had several people ask me the same question, and my answer has always been the same. That I'm at, whenever I was living in Florida, I never had any paranormal experiences, and even after I moved to Kentucky, I never had any of the places I lived and been around. And my dad, he didn't ever really believe in that, like ghosts or nothing, and I mean, I always had an open mind to it, but I just never had an experience. And later on, after my dad passed away, my ex-wife's daughter, she used to watch Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi with Taps team. And anyways, I had never really sat down and watched it. And anyways, she would watch it some, and I'd see little bit here and there of it, but not much. And then one day I just decided, because I had an interest in it, and one day I just decided to sit down and watch it just to see what the show was about. And after watching the show and seeing some of the equipment that they use, like, for instance, like the fluorothermal imaging camera and stuff like that, I mean, it really intrigued me, because I didn't know that kind of technology existed to use for, like, hunting ghosts. And so after seeing some of that, then I started wondering if there was any haunted locations around here in Somerset. So I got online and started searching, and I found some haunted locations here in Somerset, and I talked a friend into going with me, and which was kind of ironic, was his mom told me he was pretty much afraid of the dark, but I actually got him to go with me. And anyways, we used, at the time I didn't have near as much equipment as I have now. I just had like a Sony night vision IR camera, a digital camera, and we didn't even have a voice recorder at the time. We just had voice recorders on our phones. And so, like I said, we set out trying to see if we could capture some evidence like they do on TV, like some of the paranormal investigators does. And also, my main goal when I first started was see if I could capture some evidence that would prove, because I didn't know, I had never had an experience, and I wanted to capture some evidence that would prove to me that ghosts really did exist. And so that was my main goal, was to try to find some evidence that they really do exist. And so after going to went to one location, and like I said, it's pretty well known here in Somerset, and we didn't capture anything that was really, really proved to me that was really solid evidence. And then another weekend, we went to a Civil War battlefield that's just west of Somerset, in another town called Nancy. And
oh boy,
we went there. And the name of the battlefield is called Mill Springs Battlefield. It's, matter of fact, President Trump this last year signed it into becoming a national park. And we went there, and we started down by the lake, trying all the spots that's like all the little tourist spots that you like, points of interest. And we started investigating, and we didn't start really getting anything strange happening until we started getting. We got to the field hospital, the Confederate field hospital, and that's when we started recording like these pops, almost like musket fire. And then when we got onto the actual battlefield, we walked around the little loop that you walk around, the walking trail, and we used cell phone and laid it on the mat on the marker of the mass grave, the Confederate mass grave. And when we got back and played the recording right before we left to head back home, we was listening to it, and we heard what sounded like some men shouting, and then we heard some more of them pops, and then we heard like a loud explosion like a cannon fire. And we just played that over and over. Just, we was shocked and amazed by what we heard. And this was like 3 o'clock in the morning, there was no one else around the area where we was at. And I mean, we didn't hear it with our own ears during the time of walking around. So we knew that there was more to the paranormal than it's being a bunch of baloney. And so from there, we just set out to start investigating other locations to see if we could capture more proof and to show other people. And from there, like I said, that's I just started learning more and more. Yes,
Kevin, you had a question?
Yeah. Have you investigated Crooked Creek Battlefield in Crane Hill, Alabama?
No, I never have. I've visited Alabama in the past with my dad, and went there with one of his friends on a championship coon hunt or something like that. But other than that, I've never really been to Alabama as far as for investigating the paranormal or anything like that.
Well, I hate to interrupt. I apologize for interrupting. I wanted to shine a little light on something.
We want to hear what you got.
Have you heard of that place?
No, I haven't. Actually, I haven't never read it. I've heard of a lot of different areas, but I don't really know a whole lot about the battlefields there in Alabama.
Well, I forget his last name, but he made, I forget what number it was too, but he made the history books for one of the top haunted battlefields, and he's a pretty good old dude. I grew up, he's kind of like family to me, so he's, I'm used to it, but he's got a battlefield that he lives on that he discovered after he started finding artifacts and things. And my dad used to be a Civil War reenactor. And he met up, he started doing models and stuff, and he linked in with that guy. He's got a museum out there in Crane Hill, which is about 30 minutes from us. So, but for a long, long time, it was somewhere we frequented often. We'd see all kind of weird things out there. And as a kid, I remember seeing things, I 100% believe there's a lot of backstories that are, at least trying to be told.
Wow.
Yeah, look, if you haven't done it, and you were spot on when you said you hit a battle site, and there's a myriad of them.
Well, this follows along the Trail of Tears, too. This one specific property had, I forget what general it was, fought one of the battles there, and then before that it was the Trail of Tears. And, that they found so many artifacts there in the museum. It's just crazy, the backstory there. And the things that he just said. You had said stuff like along lines of hearing cattle and, horses and stuff, and you'd hear battle sounds or whatever. There's all kinds of stuff they have reported, and it's already been investigated. I forget what group it was, but there was a group that went down there and investigated and had footage of things. They tried to pinpoint down to the specific person, and I think they was able to get a lot of information from all of that.
Wow,
generating.
But it would be something good for you to check out, man. I think you would enjoy that.
Maybe we should have a Pop Culture Stars field trip down there. How about that?
Hey, I would like to go, I know him, I know the guy very well, so I know he would enjoy y'all's company as well.
Well, that's great. Todd and Shane, think you guys might want to, if we could make the date work out, think you might like to come down with us?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Some battlefields I definitely remember. I have a slightly different perspective, but yeah, I'm well aware that like that. Yeah, I have no problem doing a battle site visit.
There's one that I met.
Mine could be a battle study associated with it as well.
Right. Well, there are a lot of interesting ones.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't normally have to go to a battlefield. All I have to do is go to someone's house. I mean, this past weekend, I was at my friend Robin's house, and I was spending the night in one of the girls' rooms. She would sleep with her, just bunk in with her aunt and let me have have her. Well, Kevin, you were there. I was on the phone talking to you, and you remember all of a sudden the television just came on and voice and everything.
Yeah, there was some weird stuff going on, man. You just tell me that was happening. That was just, it was weird. So I definitely, but it ain't nothing new to me. It's, you know, I'm very open minded to a lot of different stuff, so I try to take it for what it is.
Well, I usually try to hope. I try to hope that it doesn't happen. I'm a little bit. I mean,
I enjoy it, man. I appreciate people. I appreciate everything for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're trying to go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's it can be a little scary sometimes when you're sitting there by yourself and something strange happens and you know that there's no explanation for it. A little bit later that night, and I'll go ahead and share this with you guys. So I'm finally getting myself to sleep, and all of a sudden I hear somebody walking up the stairs. The stairs are right adjacent to this room on the second floor. And I said, oh, it must be one of the people who's gone downstairs and gotten a drink of water and just coming back upstairs. So I heard him walk up to the top landing right outside of the door to this room, and I had the door closed, of course. And then I heard him turn around and walk back downstairs. I said, well, that's kind of strange, but whatever. Maybe they needed another glass of milk or something. Then as soon as they got downstairs, I heard him turn around and start walking back upstairs. And I said, well, I know what to do here. I quietly got out of the bed. I was standing right next to the door, to the hallway, and right next to the landing area for the stairs. And I saw those footsteps getting right up there to the top of the stairs. And as soon as they got to the very top of the stairs, I threw open that door, cut the light on, and there was nobody there. All sound stopped. That was pretty
wow.
Creepy. And that really was. And I mean, you know, can't help it. That's what happened. But you know, things do happen all over. So now, Shane, what's the most exciting or craziest, I guess, one or the other, experiences that you have had ghost hunting?
Well,
which one sticks out in your head?
I'd say probably out of about everywhere I've been and all the experiences I've had, I would say probably when I was invited by a friend that has a paranormal team here in Kentucky called Kentucky Paranormal, I was invited by him to.
Would this happen to be Spade? Was this also called at one time Spade?
I don't think so. It seemed like he, from what I can remember, seemed like he said that his team was joined from. Like a team out of London, Kentucky called Kentucky Shadow Chasers and another team, I can't remember, but anyways, they united together, and he's got a team called Kentucky Paranormal. And anyways, he had bought him and another team from out of Ohio called Collective Paranormal Research Society, about five of their team members, and my friend Jeff Sanford that invited me. And three of his team members, he bought a ticket for his wife, and she wasn't able to make it, so he offered the spot to me. So I told him I was interested in it, and anyways, I joined him, and we went to Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky, the tuberculosis sanatorium. And,
gotcha.
While we was there, one of the things that I had, I guess you'd say, is more of a personal experience, because there was no one standing beside me that witnessed it with me, and I didn't have a video camera on me at the time to record it or get a picture or nothing. But prior to the event happening, there was a medium that's part of Jeff's team, and she had told us that she had seen. A little girl down on the floor we was on the back part of the building, like the where they used to wheel the patients out into the back of the building to get fresh air. They call the breezeway.
Okay.
She was in that area, and this was like on the third or fourth floor, and she was down towards the end of the building, and I would say probably they'd call it maybe the the west or south end of the building, and she'd seen a little girl down there, apparition of a little girl, and she said while she was seeing the little girl, all of a sudden this black mass appeared, and the little girl disappeared. And so she came back and was telling me and one of Jeff's other team members, and so, and I hadn't seen anything so far through the night, and so anyways, I was thinking in my mind, I said, well, I paid $100 to come here tonight. If she's seen something down there, I'm going to go see it myself. So anyways, I started walking from room to room, walking in that direction, and I was just taking my time. And whenever I'd come to one of the rooms, I would stop and look into the room because she didn't tell me exactly where at. She just told me towards the end of the breeze lake. And so I'd walk from one room to another and stop, take my time, look in the room. And I kept doing that until I got down to probably about the second, third room from the end. And I just got this gut instinct feeling that told me to stop and, like, just stay right here at this room. Don't go nowhere else. Just stay right here and just keep watching and observing this room. So I started, just kept watching, looking through the room, and then I was looking through the threshold to look to where it goes into out of the room into the hallway. And out in the hallway, I could see, like, some ambient light from the city. And, I mean, there didn't have no lights on. It was just the ambient light from the city shining through some of the openings into the hallway. And then I could see, like, where the wall between the two rooms had casted a black shadow, like a solid blackness in the hallway too. And I just kept watching through that area, and all of a sudden I seen this like black, like shadow of a person coming out of the darkness. And after it come on out of the darkness, it got into the area that had the ambient light, and I could see it real well. And my first thought was that it was one of the other investigators, like Jeff or Chris, that was in the hallway, because they had been walking the hallways earlier, and they were seeing shadow figures and stuff darting back and forth from room to room in the hallways. And so I thought it was one of them, and so I just kept watching it, and it creaked out of the darkness, like sitting to that ambient light, and then it was almost like it was going to go on down the hallway, but it stopped like it seen me, and then it backed up and into the darkness. And then I just kept watching, and then the next thing I know, I seen it come out again. And so when it came out the second time, I started wondering, well, is this a shadow from Jeff or Chris, or is this a shadow figure? Because at that point, I'd never seen a shadow figure before. And I've seen pictures on the internet and stuff of them, but never really witnessed one. And so I just kept watching it, and it, like I said, it come out again, and then it backed up into the darkness, and it kept doing that. I'd say it probably came out about three good times of coming in and out of the darkness into the ambient light, and then. And I still hadn't seen Chris or Jeff or a physical person. I was just looking for one of them to walk by and say, confirm, well, it was just one of them. But anyways, it just kept coming in and out of the darkness into the ambient light. And it was almost like it was wanting me to like it was expecting me to be scared and leave. But I just kept watching it, and I had a camera in my vest, but I didn't think to pull it out. I was just so intrigued by it, kept watching it and observing it. And I didn't feel no evil feelings or nothing like that from it. I mean, I just kept observing it. And finally, the last time it came out, instead of coming out as a shadow figure form, it just came out as like a black, undulating, like, mass. And it just filled the whole hallway full of that black mass so thick that, I mean, it blocked out the the ambient light where I couldn't even see the ambient light anymore. And it was just swirling around, undulating in the doorway. And the medium, Crystal, she came down about time, right after the black mass had showed itself. And I told her what I'd seen, and she said, I see it. It's still there. She said, it's standing in the doorway, or it's undulating in the doorway. And I told her, I said, yeah, it's where I've been watching it. And it was there for a little while, and then it just finally faded away. But that was probably one of the most wild encounters that I've had here recently, and out of all the times that I've places I've been. I'm in a lot of other places I've been. I've had some other strange things and happening stuff, but as far as something that I've witnessed myself, that was something that was pretty intriguing that really stands out to me.
Well, can I ask you this? At that moment in time, were there any lessons to be learned about anything?
Was there any what?
Any lessons to be learned. Was there any... What was the message there, like between whoever was there?
Not that I know of. Like I said, I meant it could have possibly been the same black mass, maybe that the medium had seen prior to me going down, or it could have been the same. Because it was in that same general area, but like I said, I don't know. She had seen the black mass appear right after the girl appeared and disappeared, and then this black, like I said, when I went down there, it was a shadow figure, and then it appeared, but I never felt threatened by it or like any kind of anger or nothing like that or nothing. Now, there is one thing, another thing that I did capture that night on the voice recorder. There's a well-known entity there that people have seen called the creeper, and people say that people mistaken it as being a garbage can in the hallway, and when they get closer, the thing will crawl up the wall and get up on the ceiling and stuff, I've never seen it myself, but it's some sort of entity that's black looking, and it may even like shapeshift. I'm not sure, but there's even been reports of doppelgangers there at Waverly Hills, and just a lot of different things. I was using my SB11 spirit box. I was running it with a voice recorder, and I asked where's the creeper? And it said, I got a reply that said, look up.
That's crazy. Do you know, have you heard about Connecticut, that house, the haunting in Connecticut?
Yes, I've heard about it, and I've, from time to time, on Facebook, I've seen John Zaffis, talk about that haunting and stuff, and I've read some of his stories about it and stuff, and I've, like I said, of course, seen the movie in the past and stuff, but that's about all as far as I know about it.
Well, what John told you is I am on The Walking Dead, but I'm also a tree surgeon, and I used to do tree work for the power companies, the electric companies, and I went on Ice Storm Alfred, and one of you may remember what year that was. I think it was like 2013 or something like that. I forget. It's been a minute, but I was a general foreman for Lewis Tree Service. I wasn't a general foreman. I was I basically stood in like a general foreman. I was a coordinator, whatever they call it. Anyways, but I was up there working in Ice Storm Alfred, and we actually worked at that house. And
far
as raising some hairs on your spine goes, I can't say that anything happened, but, I was on edge the whole time I was there, because I was there right at dark, and we was working overnight, and somebody had started showing me some of the signs and stuff and pictures and all that. And I was like, well, man, this is the last place I wanted to be, at this hour. So, but it really didn't bother me. I was actually you know, after all said and done, I was like, that, you know, that was pretty cool, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That you felt, Matt, like you said, you didn't feel on the edge or nothing. You felt kind of comfortable, but you knew something. You could tell that something was there and the presence was around in the area.
Yeah, I've been through some weird things. I actually got some scars on my legs. I think I told you about it, John, where I used to live in a place in Houston, Alabama. You know, I had a deer head that was on our wall, and it actually come off the wall about 4 or 5 foot and busted my shin open. And I still actually have a scar from it on my shin.
Wow.
So I've had some weird stuff too I've encountered. It's just, you know, I'm very open-minded about things, and that's gotten me further than, you know, not being.
Yeah.
I like to say, I don't like that phrase open-minded, because it makes me think of other things, like something that's just dumb, but you might be willing to accept it. I prefer to say, I will keep my eyes open and I will believe what I see.
Yeah.
Shane, do you like that phrase? I will simply believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I see it, I'll believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But would you believe things that you see that you can't explain?
Well, sure.
Well, I would. I've had to.
Okay.
I'll just finish this statement. Like the Bigfoot that I saw Saturday at 7 p.m. in the late afternoon. I mean, it was there. I saw it. It's the first time I've ever seen a Bigfoot during the day. And just walked past a window. It's like, well, what can you do, you know? I mean, it's there. And don't deny what you see. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Who did I so impolitely interrupt?
Oh, no. I know. I like the whole day thing. Just I'm glad you did, because I know that was – I'm surprised you've been bearing the lead like that, because I know you had a gazillion things running through your head, but I know above and beyond all that, whatever the actual experience was, I know it's something you've been waiting to see, especially in decent light. I'm happy for you, brother.
Especially, I've had some of the strangest things. Well, I mean, it's like I was leaving Robin's house one morning at like 5 a.m. because we had to get somewhere at 9 o'clock that morning for a Comic-Con. And so we're just driving along, and all of a sudden I see these five shadow figures on the right-hand side of the road. And and then as we got closer to them, they just seemed to vanish. Then just a few seconds later, on the other side of this one-lane country road, there's six shadow figures, and then they just vanish as we get right on top of them, and it kept this way for about 2 miles. It was frightening. I'm glad I had somebody in the car with me. I mean,
you weren't the only one seeing it.
Yeah, well, that person declared that I was in league with the devil and quit the job, so...
Mm. Wow.
That's what I was told. For a guy that carries a Bible in his pocket, it was fairly offensive. But, you know, you see what you see. I mean, you do.
Yeah.
But, some people just don't want to believe. I mean, they want to believe that the only thing that exists is what we see with our eyes. And sometimes you see what you see, and that's
there's
it.
And there's a lot of things that you don't see that you know is there because you hear it speak in your ear or touch you, and you know it's there.
Oh, so you had some of those
things, you just know it.
So Shane, you've had some of those experiences as well?
Well, I haven't really experienced them, anything touching me. My mom, she has at a campground that we stayed at a couple of years ago. It's a little south of Somerset. She had like I said, something there touched her like twice while we was at a campsite, and Well, matter of fact, she was walking from the where the fire pit's at to the her van that she had, and she was walking to the van, and she heard some extra footsteps behind her, and she turned around and didn't see anybody, and she got in the van, and then, like I said, later on at that same campsite during the day, she had felt a hand gently touch her on the inside of her leg, and then down at the showers where the laundry where they had the washing machines and dryers and stuff, we were washing clothes, and while I was taking a shower, she told me that she got touched there in that area as well. But now as far as hearing a voice, a disembodied voice, without a voice recorder with your own ears, I've never had anything speak in my ear, but probably about 3 or 4 years ago, me and a friend and my girlfriend, we were investigating a Civil War battlefield that's north of London, Kentucky, which is on Interstate 75. It's called Camp Wildcat.
And I'm going to make a comment about London, Kentucky. That is a frightening, frightening haunted place. And it just is.
Yes,
don't you agree?
Yeah, I've seen some pretty wild stuff over in London, and over there's a state park that I've captured some of the best photographic evidence. That it was part of a trail that Daniel Boone had cut through from Cumberland Gap into here into Kentucky. That was called the Boone's Trace, and there was one particular little it's in a state park there. It's a little cemetery. It's called the Defeated Camp Burial Ground, where some pioneers were massacred by a group of renegade Indians. And anyways, like I said, we've had some pretty interesting photos that we captured with an infrared trail camera there. And but back to the story where I was talking about that north of London, that Camp Wildcat. I think it was one of Kentucky's earliest Civil War battles. It was it was on what they called the Wilderness Road, run right up through that area, and the Union had set up a camp up there on the mountain, and they fortified the road to keep Confederate Army from coming up the road. But we was up there, and like I said, this first time I've been there, and we were investigating, and there's a hill they called Hoosier's Knob. It's where the Indiana Union soldiers had fought on top of the hill, and reading the signs, I seen that there was one Union soldier that was killed in the first 10 minutes of the battle. And so while we was up there, I was using a voice recorder, and I asked, was it hard fighting the Confederates here? And I heard, 6 feet out in front of me, I heard a voice reply to me that said, yeah. And I asked my girlfriend that was next to me, I said, did you say something? And she said no. And I asked my friend that was, changing some batteries in the camera, I asked him if he said something. He said no. And so I stopped the recorder and reviewed it. And at the moment where I asked, was it hard fighting the Confederates here, you could hear the reply, yeah. And then you hear me asking them. But I heard the yeah, I heard it with my own ears, and it's right out in front of me. And, that's been probably about the first – that was the first time we actually hearing a disembodied voice before playing it back on the voice recorder.
Wow. About all I can say is, wow. Well, you know Daniel Boone, and if you have a chance, well, actually, it's not up there yet. Next week, I'm getting ready to put up my new book. I got two books coming out next week. One is The Lizard Man Companion. That's been a 3-year process, and then I'm putting up kind of a combination of two of my books that have only sold at Comic-Cons and festivals. One's Introduction to Hominology, and the other one is, and it includes some caricatures of some famous people who've seen Bigfoot. Theodore Roosevelt has a Bigfoot story. Daniel Boone had an interaction with a Bigfoot when he was out in the woods one time. And
yeah, I've heard of that.
Well, you can, when I get it up there, I'll let you know, because I always set it up so that people can download the book straight from Amazon Prime for free if they do it through Kindle. So I'll let you know and you can read about it. But that was I combined several stories into that one to try to get, the most accurate one that I could. And I think I did. And yeah, and Teddy Roosevelt's was pretty bright. It really was pretty frightening. So I tried to put some of those stories into this Introduction to Hominology and Bigfoot Explorers. And it also includes a field guide for hunting Bigfoot, which I've never seen before. So I think I'm looking forward to some people getting that and enjoying it, because it, gives you an idea of what to look for and what might happen. Although I don't really find a lot of Bigfoot explorers that are out looking for ghosts. I just don't seem to, but be that as it may, this is kind of a neat. Pardon, Kevin?
I said I'd be one.
Who? You?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a real good friend that lives here in Somerset, that was part of that podcast I was telling you about earlier, that when I was messaging you that Into the Shadows. He's an older friend of mine he's a well known paranormal investigator here in Kentucky and Somerset area. Like I said, he's been into the paranormal field for probably over 20 years now. But
You're not talking about Thomas Markham, are you?
No, it's another friend that lives here in Somerset. His name is Bill Scott, and he's an author. He's wrote about 3 or 4 books. And, like I said, he's been on several radio shows, newspaper articles wrote up on him. He's been in magazines and different stuff. And I mean, he's even traveled in the past out to like Oklahoma City and out there where they had the Oklahoma City bombing investigated out there and stuff. But anyways, we was talking about Bigfoots. At times I've been with him ghost hunting, and he would, while like some place where we was investigating was like near the Daniel Boone National Forest, and he would, while I was there, he said, "Well, while we're here, y'all want to do a little bit of Bigfoot hunting while we're here?" And say, "Sure." And like I said, he would get out his thermal imaging camera and use it, and he'd get a piece of like a big tree limb and do some tree knocks and some whoops and stuff, and we'd do it, like I said, do a little bit of Bigfoot hunting while we was ghost hunting too. Now he's really big into, like I said, into ghost hunting, Bigfoot, anything like that. I mean, anything that's strange and unusual, he's into. And I've also got some good friends that was part of that same podcast I was telling you about, that Into the Shadows. One, his name is Zach Bells. He's got a Facebook page called Paranormal Road Tripper, I think. And anyways, he travels all over the country and with his girlfriend, and they've been to like out Roswell, New Mexico, and like Estes Park out there, the Stanley Hotel. Down Myrtle Plantation, it's all over the place.
Hold that thought about the Stanley Hotel, because I have a story that's in one of my books, and I'd like to share it, but we've got one of our favorite people has just called in and wanted to acknowledge him and tell him that, you see, and Dave Atwell, you see how the neighborhood can go downhill when you're not here, and we start talking about the paranormal. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on? I hope everybody's doing all right. And I'd rather be talking about paranormal than the abnormal that I've been seeing of late. So, yeah, it's kind of refreshing. I hope everybody's doing well.
Yeah, you and I had a short conversation earlier today, and I thought it was actually quite nice. And I wanted to see if you wouldn't mind sharing that here with our guests and our co-hosts and everyone listening in. We actually got a pretty good crowd tonight. And if you wouldn't mind sharing that, it was kind of a reflection about how things are going now that we are busy with the coronavirus and we got people staying at home and businesses are shut down. Do you mind, Dave, sharing that? I thought it was a great thought that I believe people need to hear.
Yeah, it's you know, the stuff that we've seen here in the last month, and I know all of us have a different story to tell about some of the odd stuff they've seen since we've been going through this monkey business. You know, everything from people hoarding groceries to, you know, panic buttons and everything else that they're losing their minds. But, you know, what I was saying today, and you know, you guys here on the show and all, I'm close enough to you guys where I'm sure you'll understand. You don't hear these kind of things out of me much. But if you stop and look around and, you know, you think about how your life has been in the last X amount of years and the things you got to do and the things you know, things that you're not doing and the things you want to do, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's funny. You know, they send this virus is out there, and whether it's a huge thing or an overblown thing, that's neither here nor there. But stop for a minute and look around, and the stores are closing early, and people are still eating, and they're obviously still wiping their tails for all the toilet paper being bought. restaurants are still serving food. As a matter of fact, I've kind of fallen in love with this whole new angle they've got to where I order it and they bring it right out to my fat ass in the car. So people are still eating, though the restaurants are closed. Okay. By that, have you noticed that the places that are still open have been increasing the pay of their staff? Okay. So the companies are able to pay their employees more, being closed more, and none of them are going bankrupt. The Dow has crept back up over 23,000. Okay. And gas is the cheapest it's been since hell when I graduated. People are at the house, or at least they should be, with their families. And if you go to any Lowe's or Home Depot, you'll notice that people are working on their homes. So, in a way, if you stop and look at it, with the exception of cutting out all the ancillary grabastic things that we have to do on the job and personally. You know, the banks, take for instance, you know, people are still getting money in and out. You know, sure, they have to drive through the drive-thru, but you got to do it at Taco Bell and you got to do it at McDonald's. And perhaps this will be the new norm. And you know what? Nobody's going hungry. Nobody's going unclothed. Nobody's going unsheltered. Everybody's got money in their pocket. Everything is going the same way, but we're doing it in less time, with less effort. And again, you look, if folks ain't able to sock away some money during this thing, it'd be beyond me. Because not only are they receiving money from the government, but again, employers are paying their associates more.
Well, clarify that phrase. I want to know how that works.
What's that?
How people receive money from the government?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but you know, it's, if you stop and look, though this virus thing has been a horrible experience, it's really made me stop and look around and go, you know what? You ain't got to work 70 hours a week, and we really don't need to work. You know, we don't need to have these stores open 24 hours a day because, by God, people are buying what the hell they need when the stores are open. And perhaps what's that?
Yeah, Kevin, what you got?
We planted a garden this last week. They put us a big old garden in, and, you know, down to the two, what you just said is 100% accurate, and I've enjoyed the time that I've got to spend with my family more than any time we've had in the recent past. You know, it's been great.
Absolutely.
Man.
You know, and you're doing
and just
things.
Being aware.
You know, people are working all these goofy shifts, and, I mean, I know all of us, past, present, or future, have had those, what we call in the grocery business, a clopin, where you close one night and you open the next morning, where you go home and you've got 6 hours worth of time between your shifts, and you've got to work in two showers, some sleep, and something to eat in that six-hour period before you got to have your ass back to the workplace. Why are we doing that? Because people, the sales right now in the retail industry is going through the damn roof with abbreviated hours. And I don't see nobody on the side of the road with no gas. They're still getting their gas. So, you know, in the end, it kind of, for me, you know, perhaps we are our own worst enemy when it comes down to that kind of stuff. And, you know, the whole 24-hour thing, I've said for years that's the destruction of American society. That's the destruction of the American family dynamic. When
yeah,
you got parents sure out there working at 2 or 3 in the morning. So you know what? Things are shut down and folks are going home, or at least they should be. And I think if the world stops and takes a look around, perhaps they'll understand that we don't need all this. You know what I mean? It's time to get back to basics. And so with all that said, that was my rant. And one final piece to that is, folks, stay home. If you ain't got to be out, don't be out. If you got to go to the store, get whatever in the hell you need in one trip. Don't linger. Don't read the label.
Yeah,
don't be over there reading the label on a can of lima beans. Damn it, pick up what you need and get the hell out of there.
Well, now, Dave, I'm going to have to stop you right there because I haven't been able to find lima beans for 2 weeks. I haven't.
Right,
I've been looking.
Got a whole big old bushel full. I have to send y'all some.
No, I haven't been able to find any canned lima beans for 2 weeks. Makes me mad.
I got some frozen bag lima beans at the garden.
Yeah, well, I got some frozen lima beans in the refrigerator. Anyway, Dave, I was just messing with you, but it's the truth.
I
can't find any canned lima beans.
I have a personal stake in this whole staying home thing now, okay? Because this social distancing that they're preaching about, all right? I've been practicing this stuff for years, and everybody called me an antisocial ass bag for it, okay? When I have time, I'm out on the deck smoking cigars. When I have time, Dale and me, we go out there to the beach and walk around. Why do we do that? Because we got the whole damn beach to ourselves, okay? So what happened Monday? The cigar shop had to close down. Why? Because people wouldn't get their asses in the house, and our fantastic governor thought it would be a wonderful idea to put up this 5 o'clock rule starting yesterday or starting Monday, which nobody's adhering to. And so in the meantime, the big thing is Godfather's Cigars is now locked up. So what does that
mean
for me?
But Dave, aren't they a necessary service or retail?
For me?
no joke, man. That's one of the essential businesses, man. You can't live without the cigars.
So, again, the sooner we follow directions, be it as painful as it may be, the sooner we're going to get out of this thing, and the sooner we can go back to the beach, and the sooner we can smoke cigars. And, you know, it's just, folks, you got to quit the grab-assing. I've never seen people this active in my life. And, hell, it's like, why? You remember that movie Cocoon where the aliens come down and, like, Don Amici was out playing basketball and everything? I ain't never seen these 80-year-old folks are out there skydiving and down, you know, parasailing and everything else. And I'm going, God, Jesus, guys, you know, they've been telling you stay inside. Why are you out? So, folks, just follow the damn letter. Stay inside. Keep in your own germ realm. And we're going to get through this thing. But the more you fart around, the more you defy it, the more you shrug it off, the longer it's going to take and the more agonizing it's going to be. And God forbid they've already closed down my cigar shop. God forbid they close down the liquor stores, and you're really going to have to deal with my ass.
What?
That's just one thing with society.
No, they're not closed down here in Myrtle Beach now, I'm going to tell you that.
No, I don't imagine. I don't know what Myrtle Beach is doing, to be honest with you, with tourism and everything, because, I mean, this is the time of year where they're starting to ramp it up, you know.
We're talking about April. April's the first of the big months. And I can tell you right now, no hotel can take reservations for less than a week, but they're all shut down till the beginning of May. So,
wow.
I mean, yeah, every single one of them. And it was creepy. I did drive a little bit down Ocean Boulevard. I've never seen it warm and the place so empty. I've never seen anything like that. But the gay dolphin was open.
Yes.
If everyone
Long
knows,
live the gay dolphin.
Know, the gay dolphin is the largest gift shop on the East Coast and doesn't have anything to do with gay. It was named Gay Dolphin back when gay meant happy. And they opened in 1948, and I can guarantee you they still got some merchandise from 1950. On those shelves, I can guarantee you that. But it's great. They got some of that older quality dust, and what more can you say? But Dave, you know, it's good. I wanted you to share this with everybody because I think it's important. We can be opinionated on this show because we can be opinionated, and that's it. And Todd's just doing stuff like correcting my grammar and my facts just like he's supposed to, and Kevin's being strange just like he's supposed to, and we got a
I'm
great
just agonizing, man.
I know, you're just ridiculous. I don't know what we're going to do about you, but I guess we have to keep you. You've already passed probation period, so it's kind of like Dave. Dave called me up one time. He said, "Well, I hope you won't fire me for what I said." I said, "Dave, I'd love to fire you, but you've been here too long."
I went out right after the warrant goes up, man.
Yeah. So Kevin, I guess you and Todd and Dave have all been here long enough. If you haven't quit, that's probably the best thing to say is you haven't quit, so you're still here. But yeah, Dave, thanks a lot. And I know you got to get up at ass six, as you call it, in the morning. And you're allowed. So you are you have a hall pass for coming on here and sharing this great thing with us. I really do appreciate it. And yeah, I've heard Kevin say that he really is enjoying spending time with his family. And Todd, are you enjoying it being quiet?
Oh, yeah, I'm sitting here. I've been listening. I'm just happy to have Dave come in, fill some space, and just, you know, and I'll be damned. But you guys are killing it tonight. It's kind of easy for me tonight. I'm kind of liking it.
Well, that's okay. Well, now, Todd, one other quick question here. When are you supposed to be coming down here?
Yeah, well, that shit ain't happening.
Okay.
I'll go with, I'll tell you, I haven't rescheduled yet, but I purchased tickets a couple months back. to go back to North Carolina April 10th. Want to be able to spend Easter with the family. And the bottom line is that shit ain't happening.
Well, you want to see, yeah, you call us your family too. We were going to be there too. And Kevin was invited, and it was, and he was going to bring his family, and it was going to be a blast. But we'll see how it works, and we'll have another Pop Culture Stars meeting, and we'll make the topic be how to win friends and influence people. Todd, I'll remind you where that one comes from. That's a joke. That's a barb to a friend of ours. But anyway, Dave, thanks, and I want to get back to these stories. By the way, back to our guest. How are you making it with all this coronavirus quietness and everything? How are you feeling about your life and the way your quality of life is being with all these closures and everything? Do you have an opinion on that quickly before we get back to your paranormal stories?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Well, as far as work, I mean, I don't, my boss, he's a trucker, and I mean, he hauls cattle, and he's got another driver that hauls like coal and sand. And anyways, he has me pressure wash the trucks whenever they come in. So I pressure wash his trucks every 2 weeks, and they've got a big beef cattle farm. And I help his dad there on the farm and stuff. And they've got two big chicken houses. They got another farm that they bought, and they're having two chicken houses built, and they're almost completed. And once they get done with having them completed, then I'll be helping them with that. And just any kind of odd and end things around on the farm there that they need help with, that's what I do. So I'm not really around like a lot of people, just like my boss, his wife, and his dad, and maybe one of his other employees is there. And other than that, when I come back home, it's just me and my mom, and just my girlfriend and her two daughters. And then, like I said, like the other guest was saying, don't really go anywhere unless you need to go to town and to get groceries or some gas or something. And other than that, just staying here and like I said, I mean things have changed as far as being able to, I mean, a lot of things being closed and things like, I mean, and not being able to just get up and go to places like you normally would, but like, I mean, we're still managing and everything.
Well, that's good. And just wanting to check. So now back to the matter at hand, the paranormal. So, can you remember what you were saying before we got pleasantly interrupted by our buddy Dave?
Last thing I was talking about was my friend Zach Bells, I was telling you about, has that Facebook page called the Paranormal Road Tripper. Him and another friend back in their high school days, they started a team here in Kentucky with some other friends, some high school friends, and it was called Paranormal Investigators of Central Kentucky. And later on, they met the guy I was telling you, my older friend I was telling you about, Bill Scott. And they, because they were still new at it, they met him, and they heard, like, they found out that he had been in the paranormal field for quite a bit, several years. So they were pretty much getting some, like, advice and training and stuff from him. And over the years, my friend Zach Bells, that's, like I said, that travels around a lot now, him and another friend, they have acquired some haunted objects, and there's a local community arts center here in town in Somerset, and down in the basement, they leased a room there, and they opened it up, and it's a paranormal museum. It's called the International Paranormal Museum and Research Center, and they've got all kinds of, like I said, haunted objects and just stuff from the Mothman festivals, kinds of like alien stuff, Bigfoot stuff, just everything in the paranormal that you can think of. They've got just all kinds of different subjects that they cover there in the museum. And at times, like I said, they go to like some of the Bigfoot conferences here in Kentucky and set up. And another group of friends you may know of, they work with Nick Groff on his Nick Groff tours. Their name is Lee and Jennifer Kirkland. And anyways, they here a couple years ago, they started a cryptid convention here in Kentucky. They called Crypticon, and they had a lot of, like I said, well-known.
Those ladies started CryptidCon?
Yes.
That's
amazing.
Do you know them?
Yes, Jennifer Kirkland and her husband Lee Kirkland.
Are they not on The Walking Dead?
Oh, what's that?
Are they not on The Walking Dead as background?
I don't know. They may be. I'm not sure. As far as
I'm pretty sure that's a married couple that I know that works on The Walking Dead.
I've worked with. Yeah, like I said,
is
it's very possible. I mean, like I said, when I first met them, they still got a team, a paranormal team that it's called Spirit Hunters of Central Kentucky, and it's abbreviated as SHOCK. And they used to do some public ghost hunts with a Civil War battlefield here in Kentucky it was one of the biggest Civil War battles that occurred here in Kentucky, called in Perryville, Kentucky. And they used to do some public ghost hunts for the state park, and I attended some of their ghost hunts, when I found out about them, I started going to them, and like I said, and I kept every time that they, over the last 2 years that they held them, I went to every one of their events. And then they finally, I guess around the time that they quit doing the ghost hunt, public ghost hunts at Perryville Battlefield, was around the time that they got in with Nick Groff and started helping him with his managing with the Nick Groff tour. And I think Jennifer and probably Lee both, they started that Crypticon that they do, and I think it's sometime around the fall of the year, late summer. I think one year they had it up in Lexington, I think, maybe.
Absolutely. We all know about CryptidCon.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, man.
Like I was saying, Lee and Jennifer, they really like I said, are really big in that stuff too.
Yeah, man, that's awesome though. You know, it's good to see that actually, you know, more and more people are aware of things that's going on around them.
Yeah.
Well, Shane, I'd like to talk to him, because I guess what you didn't know is I run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival. I'd love to talk with those people. That'd be just great.
Yeah.
What a small world. And then we meet Kevin Holland. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It just couldn't have gotten any worse, could it, Kevin?
That's
all right. You're great. You're great. And then Todd gets to have a slack night while we're talking. Well, that's great.
I heard of Oscar Rodriguez. He does a lot of art stuff for The Walking Dead. I think he does a comic, or, you know, a little mini con or something like that. I'm not too sure, but, you know, you may know him. Yep, nope, nobody. Okay.
Nope. But I do have an interesting thing that has happened. And Kevin, I meant to share it with you, so I'm going to share it with you right now. You know a guy named George Romero? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I believe I do.
Yeah, you know, if I mention his films, Dawn of the Dead, The Night of the Living Dead, well, he's now a friend of mine on Facebook. I can't tell if it's his son or if it's him, but one of the Romeros, and I've been talking with him about showing up on. I didn't want to ask, is this George Jr. or George? I can't remember if George passed away, but yeah, I'm trying to with him see if I can get whichever one it is on ScaryCast on Thursday night. So I think that'd be kind of good. But I think it's his son because it's his son. But still, it'd just be wonderful to have, you know, it's like I'll never forget having Kathy Wood, Ed, the great B-movie
cool.
director. Yeah, when we had Kathy Wood on the show, on Comic-Con Stars, my God, it was great. So, you know, it's an interesting little community, and the longer you're in it, the more people you find that know other people, the degrees of separation get mighty, mighty close. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, we're closing into Never Never Land here. So what I would like to do is as our buddy Papa Stroh does every Thursday night, I'll go around and see what you got to plug coming up for the next week or two or three. And I will go in order with Kevin, then will be Todd, then will be our guest Shane, and then I'll close it up. Now, you see, I normally have to start these things early, and when I tell everybody that they've got 90 seconds, that lets me take care of the fact that Dave Atwell is going to talk for 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Right, Todd?
True.
That's exactly right. So I guess, but yeah, we got about 8 minutes, so I got to get our plugs in and tell everybody thank you, and we've had a great time here tonight. So first of all, Kevin Holland from The Walking Dead, what have you got to plug or tell us or whatever you'd like to do as your au revoir for this evening?
Man, I just appreciate being on the show, you know, hearing from everybody, seeing how everybody's doing, you know, and then the stories. I can't wait till we can all get together and do something on a, you know, more close basis where we can actually work together on some things one day. So, yeah.
Exactly. And I'd love for us to maybe
in the near future.
Yeah, and I'd like for you to just text me the name of that graveyard or cemetery so that I can put that on the list, and maybe those of us that can get down there and go out and just have a grand old time in the graveyard. I mean, nothing better than that, is there?
Okay.
I got a buddy.
So many.
Yeah, I've got a buddy. He was talking to me yesterday, and he said, "John, I want to do some stuff with you. You seem to know all the haunted spots." I said, "Well, I can take you to a place 10 minutes from where I live, the most haunted cemetery in South Carolina." He said, "How do you know about that?" I said, "Well, that's why I moved to Pawleys Island, was so I could be 1 mile away from it. And that's why I did. So, I mean, what more can I say? Had to move closer to work." But anyway, yeah, we'll definitely have us a whatever. We're going to have just to announce it when we start our online comic expo here in a couple of weeks. Kevin Holland is going to be coming up to Charleston, South Carolina to be our guest for the day. He'll be doing some Facebook Lives, be talking to some fans and all this stuff. So he will be with us in a couple of weeks. So I'm just trying to make sure that they don't initiate any serious lockdowns before I say come on up and tell everybody. So I'm just waiting, and I think after Easter we'll know that we're a little bit in the clear on that. So I'll let you know about that. Of course, we talk every day,
sure.
so that doesn't matter.
It seems to be changing every day.
It does, but we're looking forward to having you up here. That'll be great. And the one and only, the top foodie on Pop Culture Stars, Todd, what have you got to say?
Hey, it's pretty simple, man. Just friggin' lead by example, people. Do things the right way, the right reason. You know, just show other people. And maybe eventually some of those thick skulls and soft gray matter, eventually it might even sink into some of those folks. So, yeah, let's just, you know, lead by example and, again, do the right thing the right way for the right reason.
Well, we will try to
under
do that.
Under by 90 seconds.
No, no, it's not you that I'm worried about. It's Dave and his 9 minutes and 30 seconds. We still love Dave. That's why we keep him. He's already aged out of the we can fire you, so we're stuck with him, like we are with Todd and Kevin. And wouldn't have it any other way. Now with me, I mean, I don't know. You can probably get rid of me pretty quick. But anyway, thank you, kind sir. It's always good to have you on Pop Culture Stars and everything. And Shane, what do you have to plug or comment about before we walk off into the sunset, or ride off into the sunset?
Well, the first thing, I appreciate you having me on your show or on your podcast. And I mean, like I said earlier, I've never done nothing like this before. I've listened to plenty of podcasts, but I've never really spoke on one before. And I really had a good time listening to everybody's different stories and conversations and all the different topics. It was, like I said, a really good experience.
Well, thank you.
Like Todd and everybody else has been saying, hope everybody out there stay safe and stay well, and like you said, be smart, stay home, and don't go out unless you have to, and try to avoid being around people as much as you can.
Well, thank you very much, and I think you've got one thing wrong. This is actually not a podcast. This has not been a podcast for 4 years. We're a bunch of friends that get on every week, and we seem to have fans. So I wouldn't exactly call this a podcast. This is it's different, but we like it, don't we, guys? Don't we, Todd?
It's pretty much our weekly phone call. You know, everybody gets together and hangs out for an hour, hour and a half. You know, we do what we do.
Yeah. That's so right. And I can remind a co-host that, well, we got to talk about so-and-so because we've got an event coming up. And, you know, it's just great. I mean, this is what we do, and we like it. And as I said, this is why we got fans, and I appreciate them. And I think everybody appreciates them. And all I will say is thanks. Thanks very much, Shane, for being on tonight. And thanks for being a friend of Tony Filosi's, who's truly one of my best buddies. He really is. And when I saw
he's a really down to earth guy. He really is.
Oh, he's great. I get to hang out with him and Robin tomorrow night on Scary Cast. And maybe Devin Tate from Hollywood. And I might even bring on Eli Watson from Studio City to talk about the Chupacabra or something like that, because we'll make it paranormal for sure. But anyway, thanks a lot to everybody. Sure appreciate you being on Pop Culture Stars. We'll be back again next week. And by the way, I got props to the French Burger King franchisee who published, and I shared this on the Pop Culture Stars website or Facebook page about how to make a Burger King Whopper. I mean, it's not like you couldn't figure it out, but it was a great thing. And so I think I'm going over to the land of the Bigfoot next week, and we're going to have a cookout, and we're going to make some Burger King Whoppers, just like the fella said on his
okay,
post. And I thought that was wonderful. In fact, when we get Todd down here and get Kevin up here and Dave and me and whichever guests we want to invite, Todd, you know what I mean by that.
Right.
We'll make us up some
Speaking
Burger King.
Of, well, we can have a follow up conversation on that when you want.
Okay, I'm gonna do a call around to everybody anyway, so you can give me the preview here in a minute. Okay.
Deal.
All right. You guys have a good one. The British lady said that we had 90 seconds, and I don't know what happened. Dave wasn't on for 9 minutes to say goodnight. But thanks a lot, Dave. Thank you wherever you are in Never Never Land. Thank you. Thank you, Todd from Indianapolis. Thank you, Kevin from Jasper, Alabama, and Shane from Somerset. Is that right?
Yes.
From Somerset, Kentucky, and Dr. John from beautiful, sunny Myrtle Beach, where there is nobody here. Have a good one. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Be good, all. Big hugs, everybody.
Bye.